I was a black cat in previous days. I grew fat in the bright sunlight. But soon I toured with the dark overlord. Now I go bumping the night. This is Rick Wood welcoming you to our tour of haunted Colonial Beach. Our first visit is with Mary D. Attlee and Sandra Connor, talking about the specters that roam the museum and also have taken up residence in Sandy's house.
In the museum.
Okay, where on, the museum is now.
On Hawthorne Street.
Colonial Beach, yeah.
Yeah, and anyhow, I'm in, and there's only two big rooms upstairs, so I'm over in the room that's on the left side if you're facing this way. But so the unusual closet up there that's weird. And
what's weird about it?
It's weird because, well, first when I opened the door, this big rush of air blew out. So I said, okay, but the closet looked like it went on forever because it was dark and I couldn't see. And then I noticed there was big long things still there. So it was a weird closet.
Big
so,
long thing, what do you
of
mean
like,
by that?
Tongs or like fishing tongs.
Oh, know? I see.
So they were long. And I said, how far does it go back in there? So I said, okay, I'm just going to close the door and not think about it because it didn't look like any room I could store something because I was cleaning.
Now, what was this museum at that time? What function did it have? It wasn't a museum, then,
yeah,
right?
It was,
oh,
this,
it still was. Okay.
Oh, this has only been in the last couple of years.
Oh, I see.
So originally,
yeah, because it was so
business.
Many.
I see.
It was Hoffman's. Was it gas?
Oh, it's a lot. Lots of telephone.
Yeah, okay. The first telephone and operator in Colonial Beach was in the back room where that Waterman's exhibit is.
Okay.
Because don't you have some things written on the wall,
yeah,
back there? Like people, graffiti, you know, they
right.
come in to use the phone. And
okay.
Yeah.
So let's get back to our story here.
So anyhow, I left the room because I had to go in the other room next to it to bring something back into the room. As I enter the room, there's this man that's profiled on the whole wall, and he had a hat on. And I said, and it startled me for a minute, and I said, oh, then he kind of disappeared. And I said, okay, I'm just going to call you Alfred, because it reminded me of Alfred Hitchcock. While he had a hat on, and he's standing there. And
it didn't scare you?
It startled me. Then I thought, okay, let me process it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on and I said, okay, it'll be okay, you know. And then I thought, okay, maybe I didn't see it. So then I said, okay, Alfred, I'm going to go in this room now. So I just started talking to him. So then when I left, the curtains opened from outside. And I said, oh, no. So, you know, I said, I think that curtain, something just looked at me from upstairs. So I said, okay. So the next time Mitzi and I went upstairs, and I said, Mitzi, you're going to have to help me now. I said, I think there's a ghost up here. So, you know, so the doors were opening by themselves. And then there was a bookshelf over in the other room. And we said, we need to move all these books, go through the books, because we don't know what we want.
Can I back you up just a second, because I wanted to make sure I'm following. You said the doors were opening up by themselves.
The which closet doors.
That same one that you had walked in where you saw Alfred.
Were just open by themselves. And
wow.
So, okay. So Mitz and I were up there working, and we spent all day. We're moving books from one corner because we wanted to go through them, see what we could use. So we moved them over to another location. And we spent all day. So, and we locked the doors when we leave upstairs. So, anyhow, I said, okay, Alfred, if you don't like where the books are, you can do something about it when we're gone. Mitzi and I got there the next morning. Every book was on the floor. Every book. So I said, all right, Alfred, we're putting them back where we got them from. So we did. We put them back where we got them from. Every book. And there was, I mean, there probably was 100. I mean, there were so many books in that bookshelf.
Wow.
And everyone was on the floor. So then it was just little things that keep happening, you know, the doors opening. And I said, okay, Alfred's just got an attitude, but he's okay, you know. So
did Alfred kind of stay in his room?
Alfred, well, the bathroom door downstairs opened. And then we had a visitor. And we don't tell people about it. So anyhow, the visitors, where they sign, where they come in,
mm-hmm.
somebody wrote from, I forgot what state they were from, said, do you realize you got a ghost in here?
Is that right?
Yeah. So then everybody starts saying, I think he lives in the waterman's room. And I said, well, that's his room's over top of that. So that's where he does live. Because they said the temperature dropped when you went into the waterman's room. It was like 2 degrees cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's their basically ghost story. So,
well, Miss Deanna, you've lived in this area for a long time,
right.
Have you not? Noted for having this ghost in various and sundry places.
Yes. Bell House, taking piano lessons, and so many strange things were happening. They didn't want to go back and take any more piano lessons from there.
What sort of strange things would happen?
They would say things were moving on the walls, and they had to practice, and they're looking around, and things are moving, and said they actually got scared and didn't want to do any more piano lessons. So
Mrs. Byron, her husband was her husband was a friend of the Bell family.
All right.
And somehow they ended up buying the place. The Bell House was owned by a Confederate officer. People that have had the Bell House since Miss Byron.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen a woman, and they say they think it's Miss Byron. So I don't know when she died.
I see.
So she showed me a picture of her and her husband when they first got married. They made one of the first cross-country trips in an automobile, and they would go over fields. There was no roads.
And I'm going to ask both of you now, have you heard in relation to Colonial Beach? Because I would think with, Monroe and Lee's birthplace and George Washington, that you'd think you'd see people walking all over the place.
Well, with my dad worked for Lee's, the mansion there, and he saw ghosts, Paul. But he would always document it all down in his Bible, so you believe of what he saw.
Do you still have that Bible?
I have one that where he documented it, where he saw the boy, how he was dressed and everything.
Would you let me take a picture of that at some time?
Yeah, he's got one story in one Bible. My sister's got the other Bible because he had his mom's Bible, so he started putting his stories down so that he thought it would be. He said, "This is so you'll believe me. I put it in the Bible."
So, that's cute.
Ms. Deadley, would you share that story with us?
Huh?
What did he write in that Bible?
He wrote about the little boy that he saw, and it was a long story. I'd have to go back and really look at it to see what that one was. But I mean, he'd seen them all the time there, and then. Even people would come in, they would say, what's that odor? And they'd say, oh, that's the perfume that, they wear,
right.
Because they all had that
lavender,
some type of smell, and it was really strong, and he'd have to tell the people, no, it'll go in a minute when we open up.
So this is tourists who are coming in?
They're coming in, yeah. And they were, and then one of them was an archaeologist, and she smelled the perfume.
Now, Stratford Hall, for those who aren't aware, it's the ancestral mansion of, I don't know if mansion's the right word.
Robert E. Lee's birthplace.
Supposedly was in, his first building was right there at the hotel.
Colonial Beach Hotel. And
is that right?
Of course, they keep saying it isn't, but if you go through history all the way down from the 1700s, they talk about, or the 1800s, they talk about where he stayed right here. The little house and all this hotel was built onto that.
I see.
On that part that was there.
Okay.
And
this is Light Horse Harry who's built it,
yes,
right? Okay.
Uh-huh. To other thoughts with this, I don't.
That you're not comfortable with?
No,
or?
Because I have visions. And I,
is that
this
right?
Isn't something, but I have visions that all come true.
Okay.
So, and so the a ghost sometimes is someone telling you something. I know that, like, Dad's mom, and she's dead, but she came to me in that spirit saying, tell George to get ready, he's going home. So I said, okay, because I always know I have to act upon these visions that I have. Mm-hmm. So anyhow, I called all my sisters, which I do when I have these visions, I tell people so that they can know that it's true.
Mm-hmm.
So I called all them. I said, we got to go down because we need to take Dad to the doctor. And they said, oh, okay. So we all got in the car. And Dad was getting ready to go to work. And I said, Dad, we're taking you to the doctor. No ifs or buts. And he said, okay, but I think I'm okay. And I said, no, you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Kilmonic and went to that hospital down there. And they George said, we're going to have to send you to Richmond. Said, you've got cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to Richmond. And then when the doctor came in, he said, George, you've got 3 months to live. So Dad said, okay, that's fine. I'm ready with it. And then he told the doctor, would you like to see my paintings? So he was comfortable with it. So, and that was just one of the visions that gave us 3 more months of life to tell our dad by. And so that was, he had to quit that day and just go home. So,
and it's something that gives you a great deal of comfort, I would imagine.
Oh no, it was a blessing. It was God's gift to us, to give us that time. And then it's been so many more I can tell you the stories, but you don't have to reprint this, but I can remember telling my daughter and I, because we ran an auto parts store, her and I together, and I said, Karen, there's going to be a man coming in today, because this vision, and he's going to look like Santa Claus, and I said, and we're not supposed to say anything to him except, hi, how are you, or, you know. So all day long goes, and anyhow, Karen says, well, Mom, I guess maybe he's not coming. And by that time, a car pulled up, and this person looked just like Santa Claus came in. I mean, came right in, and he walked over, and I often wonder, how did he, never seen him before, never knew who he was. He went over and got what he wanted, came to the counter, and we said, thank you for coming in. He went to the door, opened the door, and he said, you two will never know what a blessing you've been to me today. And he shut the door. And we never saw him again, but we could tell he was really sick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his legs were swollen, he could hardly walk, but we never saw him again.
Ms. Dadley, do you think that, because it sounds as if you've seen a fair number of ghosts in your life.
A lot of spirits, I call them. But
do you attribute that to your vision, your sight, or do you think that if I were standing there that I would have seen those same ghosts?
No.
I would not have.
No, because Sandy has one here that she didn't even hear him, and she didn't hear him clap. I mean, she didn't hear the noise or nothing. And of course, her daughter and I were here at the time, and she said, I didn't hear it. And I said, no, there's talking right over here. And so we named him George.
Do you give all your spirits a name?
Yeah, if I don't see them.
Okay.
If I don't see them, you can hear them and they're talking. And Sandy said she didn't hear a thing.
No, she.
So
actually, my daughter thinks there's one in here too.
So how does that make you feel? Do ghosts scare you?
Only this one's a good ghost. So this one.
Evidently not. I'm still living here.
Right.
But I've not heard anything. Although we heard the floor creaking when I first came back to this house. I rented it out for a while, and I thought that was a ghost, but these guys had me all spooked. That's why.
Well, I mean, she didn't hear the talking. She didn't hear the bang.
Nope.
So how many ghosts have you seen in your lifetime,
I've
or have you
seen,
ever seen?
I've never seen.
So do you think that And you guys are good friends, so you know. Do you think?
I believe married.
Okay, well, that's what I wanted to ask. So you believe that they do exist? It's just like folks like you and I don't see them.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I don't. It's funny because some of them are spirits, which means they're coming to you, but they're not. I don't consider them ghosts. I mean, they're telling you something. It's like all of a sudden that's not part of a vision. It's something that you accidentally run into and you see it or you hear it or it moves or...
What do you think they are?
I just think they're...
Continuing my tour of Haunted Colonial Beach here, and I'm sitting with Brandy, the owner of Lenny's Restaurant. For folks who are out of town, tell us a little about Lenny's. Brag on yourself a little bit.
Well, Lenny started with my dad in 78. He passed away, my mom took it, and then she sold it in 2016. And then I came back in 2019 and bought it back. I do breakfast, lunch. We try to make everything homemade here. We stay pretty busy.
Okay. I understand your ghost is even homemade. Is that right?
Lenny.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, tell us a little about that, will you?
Okay, so when he first passed away, the sink over there in the kitchen used to cuddle in by itself. Bread used to fall off the shelves. I mean, it could not be nothing, but I'm going to say that it was him because that's what I want to think.
Of course. And so did that happen right after he passed?
It did.
Does it still happen?
From time to time, it does. Yes. Not as often, but every now and then.
Does it ever spook your employees at all?
Well, for the ones that have been here the longest, kind of just say think the same thing I have.
But how about newer employees?
Maybe one or two.
So they haven't gone running in the street or anything?
Yeah, not yet. Not yet.
Are you from a family that believed in ghosts and spirits?
Oh, I do.
Okay. And so why is that? What is it that led you to believe? Before your dad, of course.
Well, because I think that we're not the only ones here. I think that people haven't crossed over and they hang out with us.
Okay. Have you seen ghosts before this?
No.
Okay.
No.
How about your family?
I'm not sure.
You guys talked about it.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so this was something that it wasn't built on a presupposed thing. You just ran into something unusual.
Yeah.
Has this been going on now?
15 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 15 years.
Your dad's with you when you see those things?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Relationship?
Yeah.
Apparently you did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because it was always me, my mom, and Lenny. We always worked. That's who worked most of the shifts. We did. I was right here with them.
Okay. Is there a reason that it's the sink and bread starts coming off?
Well, because he used to throw things at me. Didn't listen.
Bread every inch?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Have a chuckle when that happens?
Yes, I do. I do.
And I guess it leaves you feeling as if your family's still intact.
I do.
Troy works here at Lenny's. Apparently, you've seen the ghost that your owner was talking about.
Well, I didn't see anything, but like she said, like bread would fall off the shelf, or like the sink would turn on by itself, stuff like that. Or you would hear something; it would sound like somebody came in the back door. But you walk back there, nobody there.
Did it ever freak you out?
Yeah, a little bit at first. Yeah, but then we just kind of got used to it. We just started joking about it, like, "Oh, that's just running."
How long have you worked here, man?
Since 2000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I've been here quite a while. Me and Brandy are the longest ones here. She got here before I did, and then I started in 2000. It was my first job as a kid. Started as a busboy and then just moved my way up.
Was this your first ghost that you run into?
Yeah.
All right. Now, are you from a family that believes in ghosts?
Not really. I've never had any encounters or anything like that. The only encounters I've ever had were here.
And they were all friendly?
Yeah. I didn't feel like threatened or anything like that.
I know Brandy takes some solace from it because it's her dad,
yeah,
she
exactly.
believes. Do you get any sort of feeling when you see those things happen?
I feel like he's just kind of letting us know he's there watching or looking over us. Yeah.
So making sure you do your job.
Yep.
Sounds
keep
good.
Keep us on our toes.
Well, I appreciate you. Thanks so much.
No problem.
We've reached the end of part one of our tour of Haunted Colonial Beach. 2 of our tour of haunted Colonial Beach. I hope your frights were many and your trick-or-treat bag full.
Chatted with Ms. D'Atley a bit earlier, and she was talking about the ghosts at the museum, and we have her colleague Mitzi who's going to tell us about her experiences. So walk us into this, if you will, Ms. D'Atley.
Okay. I was cleaning upstairs in one of the rooms, and I opened one of the strange-looking closet doors. It's not a walk-in, and a puff of air blew out. So it scared me, and then I went to leave. I looked back, and there's this big shadow on the wall, and it was profiled with a hat on and his profile. And
so just like a shadow.
It was a shadow that you could see of a person all the way. He didn't have shoes on, but it went. He went down. And I called him Alfred Hitchcock because of the profile.
I see.
So that's why I called him.
So is he a chubby fella? Did you see him?
He was. He was pretty big. The hat, a sharp nose, and that kind of took me back a little bit. Mm. So then Mitzi came, and I said, Mitzi, we got a ghost. So anyhow, we left that evening, and then Mitzi can tell what we have.
So we go outside, and Mary's pointing at the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, the chimney. We need to take some of that brick down. And she said, no, that's not what I'm talking about. She said, look at the window. So we had just come, you know, from up there. The curtains are always closed like that upstairs. And somebody was holding one side of the curtain away.
Good. Now, how long ago was this?
Oh, this was last year.
So recently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it really freaked me out. So sometimes I'm here and Mary's not here. Like, I'll come to check on things.
And brag on your museum here a little bit. Tell us where it's located. And
Our museum is a wonderful little town museum, and it's located at 128 Hawthorne Street. Hawthorne without an E.
Okay.
And we have been here for 25 years.
I see. Okay. So this person that you saw at the window last year, have you seen anything before this? Either of you guys?
No.
Mm-mm. Huh.
Not until we opened that one little closet that nobody uses.
That's true.
And so have you seen lots of little experiences after you opened that closet?
Another.
And should I be worried that I looked in that closet?
We've never been hurt, right? We know he's never, I don't think he's, I think he's a little grouchy, but he's not mean-spirited enough. But I was down here by myself one day and, you know, just putting around, and I had been upstairs and I came down the steps, and all of a sudden there was this loud boom, like in the building from upstairs, like somebody had dropped something.
I see.
So I mustered up some courage to go up there because I was worried that something had fallen over.
Yeah.
So I said, I think it's time for me to go home now. And I really haven't, you know, spent that much time alone here. The last time I was here alone, pretty much, was when I was changing a light bulb. I don't know if this had anything to do with this gentleman or not, but I was on a folding chair in the bathroom. And, you know, I was holding the stained glass, you know, cover, and all of a sudden the chair, it folded up on me and it flipped me sideways. But the weirdest thing about that was that I was holding the chandelier and like this, point down, and it ended up like it landed on the seat of the toilet. And it just came down perfectly, didn't break, didn't go into the water or anything. I thought that was kind of weird. But anyway, and you know, weird feelings sometimes, like little, oh, the door that slammed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we had a door slam upstairs.
So was it that same closet door that we visited?
Different closet.
Different closet.
Well, it was actually that room.
Oh, yeah, it was the same room, but it was where the old bathroom, I think.
Yeah, where the old bathroom is, and that's where that area is.
Back to the murder house here.
So it's still there on Lincoln Avenue. It's across from the entrance to the first set of condos.
Okay.
It's blue. It's painted blue.
All right.
And there's a lady that bought it, and she lives there now. I think it was like in the early 1920s. And Mr. Eastlake was at Dalren. He was military, right? Yeah. And he and his wife, and they had two kids, they rented the house. I think they just rented it. Anyway, and he would take there was a ferry that used to ferry, you know, people from Colonial Beach over to Dalren, right? And he would take that. Well, anyway, one morning his wife was like, someone found her. She had been knifed, like, she was dead. It was a very bad thing.
The husband had already taken the ferry to work at this point?
Supposedly.
Supposedly, okay.
So anyway, there was another character in this whole thing, and she was like a nurse that he had run across. I'll find that, and I'll get you a copy of it. And they were involved. And so the night before the wife died, the nurse had come into town, had gone to D'Atley's. At some point, there was a little outbuilding behind the house that the Eastlakes lived in. Mm-hmm. She had come in there, and sometime during the night, she was there.
The nurse. And the nurse lived in the outbuilding,
She did not live there.
Okay.
She came to town, stayed at D'Atley's, and at some point during the night, went to that little house.
I see.
In the back outhouse. And the next morning, Mrs. Eastlake was found, like, really dead. And the two kids were there in another room. So there's no part of the story that relays maybe what the kids saw or went through. But you know, it's a very small house. So they had to have seen or heard something. And anyway, so they investigated. Didn't they find something under the house?
I thought they had found his white suit or something.
So what I believe I remember correctly is that a suit, a military outfit, washed up on the beach and had blood stains on it. So I think he took a boat. I don't know.
They both were arrested at the time.
They were both arrested.
The nurse and him, right?
But the prosecutors just, you know, kind of weighed in on her. She was there. Why would she be there, right, in the middle of the night like that? So she ended up being convicted.
Relda, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, glad to be here.
I'm assuming that someone who's been in the real estate business for as long as you have has some stories of places that might have some extra visitors to it.
Yes, right here in Colonial Beach. Sure.
Okay. Well, let's start with your best one, and we'll go from there.
Oh, my best one. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's start with my own house.
Oh, okay.
Kyle and I and our girls, along with his parents, lived on Irving Avenue for many years. And right next door to the Bell House, which has a lot of ghost stories.
So we heard.
And some physical type things that they experienced over there. Well, my girls would, you know, tell me that they would hear things in our house, but I never experienced that. But later, after they had moved out, and it was just me and my hubby, and, you know, usually a beautiful dog, and I had three different experiences.
Tell us about this.
Okay, so the first one was kind of black and white and shades of gray, and I'm seeing a family, a husband, wife, and child, it looked like, and they were dressed in period clothes that I would say would be the very late 1800s, something like that. Now, this is a 1907 house that we were in, but they almost seemed like a photograph. If you've seen photographs, old photographs, mm-hmm. where they're, of course, all black and white, and the people look kind of stern, they don't look happy sometimes, like they're posing and very stiff. And this is how this family looked to me, and I'm thinking, am I awake? Is this real?
Was this in your bedroom?
It was in my bedroom, yes.
Okay, and had you just wakened up or getting ready to go to sleep, or?
I was wide awake because I kept asking myself, am I awake?
Right.
And I just kept staring at them, and they kept staring at me, and I thought, okay, I want to remember every detail of this, because I've never, you know, expected anything like that, mm-hmm. right, to happen to me. So I thought, I almost feel like right now I could draw that picture, as far as, I'm not a great artist like my family, but I feel like it was just so real that I could almost touch these people. And then, so I wouldn't take my eyes off of them. And then it faded away. They just faded away.
Did you interact with them in any way? Were they moving? Were they like a still photo?
It was more just staring at each other.
Okay.
No talking, no noise. Very unusual experience.
But it wasn't like a photo. It was as if the family was sitting or standing in front of you.
They were standing there, right in front of me. And I felt like, I wondered what they wanted to say. I wondered what, maybe I should have said something to them, but I didn't. I was just surprised and taken aback, and I wasn't afraid, though.
And you were by yourself at this point? There wasn't any trying to nudge the husband awake sort of thing?
No, he was there asleep. I didn't bother him or anything, though.
Did you share this with him when he woke up? And what was his reaction?
Well, he's kind of the quiet type, and he didn't say too much, you know. We had already a lot of different ghost stories exchanged and discussed because of the Bell House next door with all their stories, and also at the marina. You know, there are stories from Plenty Beach Yacht Center also.
Which you guys also own as well.
Yes.
Okay. And so, and I'm going to get you to share stories of those and the Bell House as well, because we've gotten some tidbits about the Bell House. But you said there were three different experiences at your place.
Oh, yeah,
so
that was the first one.
Okay.
Then the second one, in the same room, all three experiences were in the same room. It was also at night, and three men appeared, but they were more modern day looking, but I didn't recognize any of them. They were dressed just like you, with a collared shirt, but they didn't seem to want to interact with me. I just kept checking them out, you know, like staring at them, like, what are they gonna do? What's gonna happen here? And it was mostly just seeing them from like the chest up. Like I couldn't see their whole bodies. It was just like their faces and their shoulders, maybe down to their waist.
And were they kind of floating?
They were up high. This is a high room. Anyway, the ceiling is vaulted upstairs in that house.
Okay.
And I could not I mean, they were way up high. Whereas that family was not. When I saw the family, they were like even with me.
And you could see
their
everything about them, right?
Their whole body, their shoes to their hats, everything. But these guys, and I just kept thinking, why are... Then I thought, you know, we have old pictures from our house from a long time ago. And I started to think, I wonder if these guys are in some of those pictures. Then I thought about that family. Maybe they had been in some pictures somewhere. I don't know, but I didn't recognize them at all. And then they didn't really seem to really stare at me. They were just there. This was during the time when this happened. This was when the Bell House had been vacated after Ann had passed away, and there was nobody living over there. So I started to think that maybe the ghosts from over there were coming over to our house.
Just to hang out?
Yeah, because there's nobody over there.
Right, right.
And
it's no fun unless you're scaring the bejesus out of somebody.
But I still was not afraid. I wasn't. And I just kept waiting, and then they disappeared.
How far apart were these first two experiences?
Oh, yeah. Let's see if I can remember. Maybe a year apart.
Okay. And so the third interaction was...
Oh, that was scary.
So how much longer...
The third one was scary.
What's this distance in time between the second
not,
and the third?
Not as long, but still not more than, you know, 6 months or something. And I kept... Of course, by this time, I'm starting to wonder why they come to me. Why me?
That seems like a fair question there.
How am I open? How do they perceive me? Or am I just there when they happen to decide to appear? Maybe it has nothing to do with me. I don't know.
Did you have experiences as a younger woman, for instance, or a younger girl?
Yes, I had one.
Perhaps you had the proclivity to see these folks.
That's what I've come to. That's my conclusion. Because I know my mother would have loved to have had these experiences.
Really?
Because she was that kind of person. She would have loved it. But for me, I kind of shy away from it. I feel like I don't, it's not totally comfortable.
I can understand that.
Even though I don't have a fear of it, but on the other hand, it's unusual.
I see. What happened this third time that scared you?
Oh, yeah. Well, the third time, this is still while Ann's house next door is still vacant.
That's the Bell House.
The Bell House and all that. So then, two guys show up. Now, they're dressed in what I would call really from... maybe 17-something, a long time ago.
Colonial period.
Yes. And they were dressed... so remember the first was black and white, kind of all that. The next guys were like you in a pastel or, you know, blue shirts and all. Then this group, they were dressed like in red uniform and with hats... big hats that look kind of almost military. But
like the tri-cornered hats?
Yeah, like that. Old. George Washington time or something.
Right, right, right.
I don't know. It was really like that. Okay. Two of them. And they're up high also, but they're definitely looking at me. And one of them points at me. Well, that upset me.
I can understand.
And he didn't look happy either. He looked upset, like he was mad about something. And the other one was kind of neutral, but that one that pointed at me, I mean, I did not like that at all. So anyway, then they faded away.
And they being three?
No, just those two.
Those
guys.
Two, okay.
Yeah. That was, and then they faded away. Well, then after that, that made me really uncomfortable. I just decided then I wanted to just pray this would never happen again, that I would never have any more experiences, and I just was, you know, I had hit my limit. I didn't really want this to continue.
What do you think these experiences meant?
Well, I have to say, since then, whenever somebody starts telling me about a spiritual experience that they have, where, you know, they've heard someone speak to them, or they have seen a physical thing move across a room, or they've had any kind of thing that we relate with ghosts. Mm-hmm. I've heard many of these stories since then, and I stopped telling mine. I don't. This is a rare thing that
I'm
talking about.
Well, thank you for sharing this.
Because I really, when other people volunteer these kinds of stories to me, I just keep quiet and I listen. And to me, it shows there is, I mean, this is happens to a lot of people.
Who do you suppose these ghosts are?
Well, since I didn't know any of these people, it's not, I really didn't feel like there was a big takeaway for me mm-hmm. on it. I feel like they need to communicate somehow. They need to be in a certain place. You know, maybe that property meant something to those people at one time. I feel like there's got to be a connection for them, or they wouldn't be coming back.
Did they
have a need?
Did the rest of your family have any interactions that you're aware of?
The kids heard a lot of different things. Steps, noises. And then one time, my younger daughter took a photograph of a building that's no longer at the marina. I don't know, she was just taking pictures. She was young, probably in junior high or, you know, middle school. And in the photograph, that big building has a lot of windows in it.
Mm-hmm.
And all these different faces show up in that photograph.
Do you still have that photograph?
I know. I'll have to ask her if she has it or where it is, because it was really an incredible photograph.
I'd love to see it, obviously. I'd love to see it. There were stories with the Bell House. We've heard some anecdotal stories, but what can you tell us about that?
Oh, I'm going to try to remember. You know, I think some of these are documented in publications, actually, some of those stories. I'd have to go back and research that. But I know that I talked to one realtor, actually, a realtor who had been in that house, and said that there was something that ran down the steps, like a fluid, a liquid.
Okay.
You haven't heard about that?
I have not.
Yeah, and that it was, like, where is that coming from? Why is it
that
happening?
That seems like a valid question, yeah.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, so you'll have to wait until next year to hear the mystery of the hairpins that were found at the Bell House. I hope you've had a great Halloween. Sleep tight. Don't let the vampires bite.